T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Just an incredible weekend of football, man.
Yes, it
just
was.
An incredible. As much as Super Wild Card weekend was mostly duds, this weekend over-delivered. Help us break it all down is our friend, former Washington football team quarterback, Mr. Jason Campbell. JC17, what's up, man?
What's going on, JP? I tell you what, man, y'all playing the right music this morning, man. You and B. Mitch riding the Cadillac, huh?
Hey, bro.
Just two dope boys, you know it.
We try to stay young.
Hey, I hear you, man. Some of this new generation, they don't know that, man. They probably trying to figure out what that is, that beat.
Jason, obviously four great games, but let's start with the headliner. What did you think of Chiefs-Bills and really the level of quarterback play in that game?
Man, I tell you what, man, that's the type of game that had you on the edge of your seat, especially that second half. Like, even when the game was over, man, my adrenaline was still going. I couldn't even go to bed just from watching that game because that's a game you could have watched all the way to midnight. If Josh Allen would have got a chance to get the ball, I figure they would have scored too. So, you know, it's just one of those games, man, where you see these two young quarterbacks is kind of taking over the NFL. It's the two faces. Going toe-to-toe in a heavyweight boxing match. And, you know, these was considered two of the better defenses. You know, Kansas City started off slow early this year on defense, but in the second half of the year, they was one of the top two defenses in the league. And Buffalo was the top defense in the league. And, you know, you just go to show you, man, once these two guys caught fire, man, it's just like shooting basketball. You just feel like the hoop looks bigger than it is. And I think that's how the football field looked to both of them. And it also helps to have guys like Tyreek Hill as well. You know, this guy – you know, he can touch the ball in a second and be gone 50 yards. So you got those quick scoring hitters, man. It definitely changed the game. But, you know, what a game, what a divisional round, what a divisional weekend. I would rank this game up there in my lifetime probably as one of the top two, three games I've ever seen.
Yeah, it really was that good, man. It was crazy.
You look, you sit on the sideline. You see 13 seconds on the clock.
Mm-hmm.
We saw it look relatively easy with Patrick Mahomes yesterday. But what is going through your mind? Because I think as a quarterback, you feel you got to be damn near perfect when you go out there.
Right.
And the defense they played, I saw them, they ran that bang eight to Kelsey.
Mm-hmm.
Why is both of the defensive backs outside of him? Nobody's inside.
Yeah, and that's the thing. That's the thing I was looking at because, you know, as much as we like to give credit to the quarterbacks and to, you know, the both guys throwing dynamic yards, let's break down the basis of the game. Like, this game was lost because the defensive mistakes, just the same thing that happened in the Bucks and the Rams game. And you think about this game here, you look at it, okay, it's 13 seconds on the clock. First of all, Buffalo should have squib kicked, and that way they would at least ran off 2 to 3 seconds because once they field the ball or even they tell you about, like, squib kick the ball on the kickoff. And then I don't know why you're guarding the sideline so much per se because they have 3 timeouts.
Exactly.
So, in fact, they got 3 timeouts. If you the corner and you know Kelsey's just the only receiver, only receiver to that side, why not go up on the ball and choke him in a choke position, as we call it in football, where you banging him off the line of scrimmage? Or you can do that in pro football up to 5 yards. I was just like, and keep him from getting off so clean the way that he did on a straight seam ball. That's who he wanted to go to the whole time. You can tell eyes was holding the safety to the right. And the corner had nobody outside of him. Why not squeeze that and everything? And then on the first play with Tyreek Hill, why not rush two defenders, drop 9 people, put one man on press on Tyreek so he doesn't get a free release off the ball because he's the fastest guy on the field. So you know they got to try to pick up 20, 25 yards on his first play just to have an opportunity on the second time to get the ball in field goal range. So I'm not letting either one of those two guys touch the ball. It's going to have to go to somebody else. Because if I rush two people, I'm making him have to hold the ball to waste some time as well. So that game was lost with some mistakes there at the end, and that just kind of like playoff inexperience and the game on the line. And, you know, you hear in the Bucs game where people thought they didn't get the call. That's because so much is going on. But you got to make sure everybody's lined up. Because I thought Kansas City should have took a timeout when Josh Allen threw that touchdown pass in the middle of the Davis when they was in cover two and they couldn't get lined up. I like, you got three timeouts. The game's on line. Why not just take a timeout there? And they didn't do it. And they got bailed out by 13 seconds.
Like, I heard some guys breaking down the game at the end. They say, why did they have four people rushing? It should have been three. Jason's saying two, which is right, because he has to complete the pass. He's not going to run a touchdown from there.
Right.
And if he was to start scrambling around and running, he probably going to take all that time off the clock. They should have had somebody. And I know today people want to change the overtime rules. I look at the fact that Sean McDermott and his defensive staff, Leslie Frazier, two friends and two people that were on Andy Reid's staff, they blew that game.
Yeah, I'm going, most definitely, because on the defense, you have to put this on yourself. Like, there is nothing more than what Buffalo offense could have done. Like I said, if you rush two people and you keep Tyreek from getting off the line of scrimmage so clean, like, this game is totally different. It ends totally different because you just have to make him hold the ball in that situation. Like, you rushing four, you rushing three is not going to help. Rush two and drop nine and put a press man on one of those two guys and everybody else behind them zone it up. Yes, everybody else behind them too, zone it up and man those two guys up. So, you know, it's just they'll learn from this. Like I said, I expect to see these two guys competing in the near future in the playoffs again.
I hope for a decade.
So this is going to be, you know, it's going to be a great matchup between these two. It's going to be a boxing match each and every year. And you got two young guns coming right behind them in Joe Burrow and Herbert. And so the league is in good space right now from a quarterback play for young guys.
Talking with former Washington football team quarterback, Mr. Jason Campbell. Serious question for you real quick, JC. When they get a new name, so let's say, you know, in 2 weeks, they're the Washington Belters, right?
They're not going to be the Belters, Tippy.
Will I then? They're going to be the Commanders. We all know it. So in 2 weeks, when I introduce you, do I say former Washington Commanders quarterback, Jason Campbell? Like, does that?
No, I'm still a Redskin, but you can. I know we can't say that now, but you can just say former Washington quarterback.
Okay, that's smart.
Gotcha.
Yeah, Thank you for clearing that up.
Yeah, just say Washington.
Now, we've talked so much about the young quarterbacks, Mahomes and Allen. Burrow didn't have the best weekend, but his leadership and charisma is so obvious and palpable.
Mm-hmm.
What about the old quarterbacks? Because a pair of them lost in Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers. Neither performed. Tom had just an epic comeback there at the end. Rodgers, you know, you could argue didn't get to throw it enough, but it wasn't an epic performance by any stretch.
Yeah.
What do you think the future holds? We'll start with Brady.
Yeah, the one thing with Brady yesterday, you know, his game was 27-6 in the third quarter, 3 minutes to go, and in your mind, you know it's not over. For whatever reason, I know a lot of people say, yes, Brady epic comeback. But my whole thing is I'm like, Rams, self-inflicted wounds, going to give the game away.
They got so much
Yeah, like the stuff that they was doing, it's just like, what? Like, this is like day one type stuff. You know you got to protect the football. You got to pick two hands on the ball. You don't do it. You know, the snap by the center but past Stafford, I was just like, you know, they was starting
to get
in it. And when you think about the game, early in the game, there was no pressure on the Rams. And it seemed like once the pressure started to get to them, man, they started busting like pipes. Like, everything just started unraveling. And luckily, they got away, you know, bailed them out there with that defensive call. But I'll say this about Brady. Like, I don't think he's going home. He's a serious competitor. I think he's addicted to it.
Yeah.
I look at this game and the way that it ended, when you think about him not having all the injuries they had on offense, and it got basically down to Evans and Gronk. You know, all the other guys were hurt.
Or ran off the field with their shirt off.
right around. So at the end of the day, they still had a chance to win the game. So he's going to look at this and be like, hey, okay, we can still keep a lot of our guys on defense intact, add a few pieces. Offensively, we can go out and get another receiver or two. And I like my coaching staff. I got another shot to go win this thing next year. And then maybe I'll go home with a walk-off Super Bowl win. Right. That's his type of, that's how he thinks, because he's so addicted to winning and so addicted to the game. I just don't see him walking away with the way they lost yesterday.
I agree with you. I think
addicted to it is accurate.
That's a good way of putting it, because the dude, and people always say, man, it's not your age, it's what you have inside of you. Are you willing to get up every morning and get it again? That's what everyone that's been with him say, that's what he is every day. Just like Floyd Mayweather walks around at 140 pounds, whatever he boxes at. He never gets too high, never gets lower. So he's always ready to go. Brady does the same thing. He's always ready to go. Most people just let it go, then they get it back in shape. He doesn't have to do that because he constantly works at it.
Right.
Jason, I don't want to put you in a tough spot here, but listen to this. Depending what happens in the NFC title game on Sunday, it's either Kyle Shanahan going to two Super Bowls in 3 years with Jimmy Garoppolo as his quarterback, or Sean McVay going to two Super Bowls in 4 years with Jared Goff and Matt Stafford. Stafford is a heck of a player. If Jason Campbell is playing for the Niners and Kyle Shanahan, do you ever wonder your career if you landed with one of these types of coaches?
Oh, I do.
How can you not?
I was telling one of my friends yesterday watching the game, I said, man, people don't realize how important coaching is at the NFL level, because there's a lot of great players, but there are some coaches that just separate themselves from the rest of the pack. You probably got about 8 to 10 head coaches and 8 to 10 offense coordinators in the NFL that they're just that good, and they know how to create matchups, but they know how to get the best out of the ability of their talent. And that's what Kyle Shanahan has been doing. And when you look at Jimmy Garoppolo has $100-some million quarterback contract, but they do not even put the ball in his hands to win the game.
Hell no.
Like, they do other
they do everything they can to get it out.
They know better. They won't be winning the game.
They do everything they can to keep him from losing the game, and he still almost loses the game sometimes. And it just goes to show you, like, great coaching. And I remember Shanahan got the job. His dad went out to eat with me twice, and he tried to convince me to stay. But I kept telling him I would stay and compete if y'all guarantee me my salary for this year. I said, because I can't go all the way to August and here it is OTAs and training camp, and then all of a sudden y'all release me from a salary standpoint, and then all of a sudden now I'm stuck. Now all the other jobs are taken. And he was just like, well, I want you to stay because I really feel like you can fit our system. He said, I know we traded for McNabb. He was just like, but I like what I see in you as a young quarterback. He said, you're still super young. And he was just like, you have so much ability and stuff. And I was just like, I want to stay. But I told him, well, tell Snyder to guarantee my salary this year and I'll stay and compete. And Snyder wouldn't do that. So I request for a trade at that point.
It tells me plenty about who made the McNabb trade when the offense coordinator is coming to you after they traded for another quarterback and saying, no, please stay here. It sounds like perhaps the Shanahans didn't have that much input in the Donovan McNabb trade, but that's a story for another day.
But like I said, these two guys, man, they just – look at everybody that's talking about how bad Stafford was to Detroit. I always tell people, I said, Stafford's a competitor. I said, when you play on a team and it's constantly losing, I said, man, that John hurts. I said, especially when you want to win. I said, but it's always dumped on the quarterback.
Yep.
I said, but then he goes to the Rams, and all of a sudden he gets these other pieces around him, and he finally gets a defense and guys that can rush the passer, and he's not having to come from behind all the time to win games. He's able to play with a lead sometimes, and then you start winning, man, it starts to do something to you. And now, on top of that, his ability is getting a chance to showcase itself, because Sean McVay, let's face it, his first playoff game against Arizona, Sean only let him throw the ball 17 times. And you know why? Because he knew that was Stafford's. He knew the pressure that was on him. So he wanted to release that pressure off of his quarterback, but make sure they get the victory, because he knew he's going to need him the next game against the Bucs, because it's going to be a bigger challenge. But he set him up to have confidence going into that game and not have him throw so many times against Arizona to the point where he may get unraveled or start throwing picks and he starts to feel that pressure. then all of a sudden it hurts you. Where yesterday he felt comfortable making those two throws at the end of the game because he was confident. So great people know how to build a confidence of their quarterback and keep them. Just because you, it's a quarterback-driven league, you still got to be smart at the end of the day and understand the situation. And that's what great coaches do.
I think we like you said, they dump it on the quarterback. But a lot of times quarterback gets into a championship game and they give him too much credit. Like I had guys, I said, I hope Jimmy G is not the person Washington is trying to get. So I had a bunch of people tell me, he's going to a second NFC title game. I'm like, what the hell did he do today to get there? Because if you went by his stats, they would have been going home. Their special team took him there yesterday. Kind of like Rex Grossman in Chicago when Devin Hester and his crew took him to the Super Bowl.
That's true, that defense too. Yeah. I wanted to ask you specifically about Burrow. I mean, I know that you watch a ton of him at LSU. I know how big of an SEC guy you are. How much of a shot do you give Burrow and Cincy going to KC?
I say this, I give him a shot a little bit just because of the simple fact when you play a game like you played yesterday, the emotion is high. Like Kansas City right now is still emotionally high off of that game last night. Like that's one those guys remember to their granddaddies. The thing about it is now you got to come off that emotional high. You got to prepare for a Cinderella team that wasn't expecting to be in an AFC championship game. Now they become a dangerous opponent because – they're going to run everything they possibly can and throw everything at you because nobody thought they would be there in the first place. And they're a young football team that's hungry. And they just went on the road and beat, after not winning a playoff game since 1991, they win their first home game. And then they go on the road and beat a Tennessee team. And now
– they just beat them in week 17.
Right. And they beat Kansas City, like you said, already this year. So from a confidence standpoint, they're like, hey, we can beat these guys. We can play with them. Now, I expect Mahomes and those guys to go out and close it out and go to the Super Bowl, but it's not going to be an easy game like people think just because of what they've seen with Buffalo did. Thing about Cincy, they can run the football, so they can slow the game down. So anytime you can slow the game down and keep Mahomes on the sideline, that's the biggest weapon that they have by running the football and trying to control them from a standpoint by not giving them so many offensive possessions.
It should just be another epic weekend. It's hard not to – I think you look at a Rams-Chiefs Super Bowl, but we'll find out next week. That's why they play the games. Who do you think had the single best performance this weekend? Is it Mahomes, Allen, Stafford?
I would honestly have to go with Mahomes, like just because like him and Josh Allen went toe-to-toe. Like Mahomes was their leading rusher yesterday.
Crazy.
Josh Allen was Buffalo's leading rusher. And the thing is, I saw it in his eyes early in the game. Like, Mahomes, he just seemed like he was locked in the whole time. And Josh was locked in. But I'm just saying, like, the winner of that game, to me, gets the best performance. And because Mahomes was able to just close it out with the victory, I give him the edge. But I tell you what, like, that's just a toe-to-toe matchup. Like, it was hard to see any one of those teams lose. Mm-hmm. But, like I say, that – what he's done to go to four AFC championships in a row. And, you know, and everyone was saying, you know, Joe Burrow's is the next guy to take over 5 years. Herbert's the next guy to take over 5 years. You know, Josh Allen's the guy to take over the next 5 years. No, people started to say this when Mahomes was struggling and had that four-game struggle stretch early in the season. It is hard in the NFL to stay consistently on top week after week after week every year. And
sure,
you're going to have those four-game stretches. And they had theirs early this year. But now he is back on his game. And I give a lot of credit to Andy Reid because Andy Reid took him back to the bases because early in the year, he started trying to do too much. I think he was really feeling himself a little bit. And then Andy Reid brought it back, started calling simple plays, kept him from throwing the ball down the field, from throwing those interceptions, and letting him just get back into a rhythm. And then once he got into a rhythm, now he just let him play. And yesterday, he was playing backyard football for most of that game. Like, there was very little plays on both sides.
Kelsey just admitted that the catch right before the field goal wasn't even the route he was supposed to run. He knew Pat would find him. Jason, we appreciate your time, man.
Appreciate you, brother.
Yes, sir. Appreciate it, man. I enjoy y'all.
Everybody check him out at jcam_17. JC, I'm going to Vegas this weekend. I'll put a little action on 17 for you.
Hey, there you go, man. You might win, man.
All right. Thank you, Jason. Appreciate it, man.
All
right, bro. That is former Washington quarterback, Mr. Jason Campbell, helping us break down a wild weekend of action. Here's what we're going to do. Haven't opened them up yet, but it's time. 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. Best thing you saw this weekend. Worst thing you saw this weekend. Let's go.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
B. Mitch and Finley, 106.7 The Fan. Make sure you're following along on social media. Follow Brian at B. Mitch Live, NBCS. Follow me at J.P. Finley, NBCS. Follow Cody at Cody Shook _. Got Mullins, 106.7. That's Landfill. Follow the show at B. Mitch and Finley. Right now, I want to do best and worst of the weekend. I think the worst is pretty damn obvious. I think the worst single performance, probably Ryan Tannehill, right? I think the worst group performance, Packers special teams.
I go with Packers whole team.
Sure.
I mean, defensively, they didn't stop them when they needed to. Offensively, they didn't get anywhere close to what they did throughout the season. And their special teams was just awful.
Awful.
Yeah.
Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. What was the best thing you saw this weekend? What was the worst? Let's start with Ray in D.C. Ray, what up, man?
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking the call. Enjoy the show. You know, the best for me was seeing these two quarterbacks and their supporting staff just compete at an incredibly high level. It just gives you, I guess, confirmation of, you know, where we need to get, because these guys are going to be hard to beat unless we put a team together as a whole that can beat them. So that was just, man, incredible. Worse, you definitely agreed, the special teams, Green Bay. And if I can just off this on a side note, man, the Wizards play yesterday was awful. Oh, man.
The Wizards.
Other than that, thanks, guys.
They lost by like 30.
I would say Wizards play yesterday was worse than Green Bay's special teams.
800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. I have a sneaky best of the weekend. We went over to our neighbor's house to let the kids run around and watch the Rams-Bucks game. Neighbors were like, oh, we'll have pizza, you know, nice, easy, kids, adults, everybody likes pizza, right? My boy, shout out to Kevin Bird, got cheesesteaks and just cut them up. So everybody that wanted one, you could have half a cheesesteak. That is an elite pizza party move that I've never done it, and I think I will start to incorporate that in the future.
Pizza and cheesecake party then, huh?
Yeah, it was fantastic.
Cheesesteak.
Dude, it was great. Landfill, best of the weekend for you.
The best of the weekend was starting the Sunday night football game at 6:30. It was phenomenal.
It was good.
It was great.
It was good, because normally, bro, I'm struggling at the end of the game.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
That game was so good, though. I think Jason kind of said this. I had to, like, kind of come down from that.
Yeah.
I ended up, like, watching some, like, dumb reality show with my wife just because you couldn't go to bed after that.
Right. I usually try to go to bed at, like, 11:30 at the latest. I couldn't get to bed till 1.
Really?
Because it was just, that game was so good.
And next week, they're the same.
That's fantastic.
And then 6:30 once again.
The worst of the week, by far, was the Bills' defense at the end of regulation, where they didn't even try to stop Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce, two of the best players in the game.
Yeah, two of the people that you think is going to get the ball.
Right. Of course they're going to give the ball to Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. They didn't try to stop them. They said, here you go. Just have 45 free yards. Why? Terrible.
It was... How about the decision where Titans running back Deontay Foreman, I think I'm saying that right, right? Is it Deontay or Dante? I don't know. I'll look it up. But Foreman.
Dante.
Had.
I don't know. You got to.
Spelled D apostrophe O-N-T-A.
Deontay.
Okay. Deontay.
That will say.
He had 4 carries for 66 yards. Derrick Henry had 20 carries for 62 yards. Maybe give the ball to the guy that's been playing the last month for you.
Last week we discussed it. I said, listen, Derrick Henry's going to come back. They're going to try to force feed him. It's going to throw off their rhythm.
Yeah.
He had the touchdown on the little whatever play they call it.
Yeah.
But they didn't look like they were in rhythm to me.
Well, it doesn't help when your quarterback goes 15 of 24 for 220 with a touchdown and 3 picks.
Yeah.
Tannehill was god-awful. If you're a Titans fan, you got to be.
He was bad yesterday. But a lot of, I mean, day before yesterday. But you watch how they played him. When he had to throw the ball, they knew he was throwing the ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Dude, not like it could fool him or anything. But that happens when you try to force feed someone. Deontay Foreman was getting it done just like Derrick Henry could have. You could have, gradually bring him into it. You make it to the next week, and then you give him more of a bigger load. But it's hard as hell to do that.
Do you know what Ryan Tannehill's cap hit is next year?
What's that?
Yes.
I would say right at 30.
$39 million. And 29 of it's guaranteed. Like, I think he has to stay on your roster.
If it's 29 guaranteed, he's on your roster.
That's got to sting.
You're not, unless you could trade him and get somebody else to take that.
So I had a tweet Saturday watching the Titans just implode as Tannehill just keeps throwing picks. I said, rough night for the build a really good team and just drop a quarterback in crowd.
Oh, you got people pissed at you.
Everybody, people thought like 50 things. They thought I was talking about Burrow, for one, no chance. Burrow didn't have a good game, but he's the number one overall pick.
You didn't just build that team because you drafted a receiver after you got Burrow.
But then it kind of backfired in the Saturday night game where Jimmy Garoppolo was junk. But they're going to the NFC title game.
Yeah, but still he's junk. I mean, let's be real. You can't fix it any kind of way to make me think that I will give Jimmy Garoppolo $30+ million to come here and think that's going to be the guy who fixes it. Jimmy Garoppolo has a extremely well-run running game to support him. He has a great defense to support him. And he has one of the top 5 special teams unit in this league. And when he stinks, they can still win. They win in spite of, not because of, Jimmy Garoppolo. That's the last person I would want to see here. Everybody that sent me texts, tweets, or whatever, say, oh, he's in another NFC championship game. Fine. It's not because of him.
So Lance Zierlein is a really good analyst. For NFL.com, does draft stuff. I think we're seeing this. Lance Zierlein just tweeted out, so many revised takes coming out about Josh Allen on draft day. I remember how salty people were about Allen going that early. I was surprised he went as early as he did based on the accuracy issues. I obviously got it wrong, but man, is there some revisionist history going on. He was the 7th overall pick.
Let's break it down. The 7th overall pick, who his first year, a lot of people questioned him. Right? They questioned him. They knew he was athletic. He wasn't very accurate. But Buffalo drafted him with a plan. We were putting everything behind him. They went and got him Stephon Diggs. They went and got Cole Beasley, all those different people. Now, he's still athletic. He's a playmaker. He's gotten better, way better, with his accuracy, which means what? That quarterback was drafted not expected to be perfect when they drafted him. He was drafted because they felt he had an upside and great potential. And then, let me find this kind of strange little idea. They coached him up, people. A coaching staff, NFL coaches, coached him up to get the best of him. So all this crap about it's not revisionist history. He got better every damn year. And that's what you want to get when you draft the first-round player. And for anybody that want to say nobody believed in him, shut up. He was a seventh pick of the whole damn draft. That doesn't mean people don't believe in him. When you're drafted in the top 10, they damn sure believe in you. But they also knew he would not be a finished product when they got him. They knew they had to help him out. They did. He went to work. Right now, that is what you get when you put something behind a person and then you find out they got the work ethic. Not everybody stepped into this league. Pat Mahomes played one game, started one game his rookie season. He passed for over 300 yards. It made Andy Reid say, guess what? We can let Alex Smith go because we got our guy. Josh Allen had to grow a little bit because they threw him in there immediately. And then he got better and better and better. Now he's damn good. So it's not no revisionist history. It's like, damn, we're talking about how good he is now. When he was drafted 4 or 5 years ago, he wasn't that good. He's good now. And what's wrong with saying it?
Not a damn thing. Phone lines are open, 800-636-1067. 800-636-1067. What was the best thing you saw this weekend? John in Rockville. What's up, buddy?
Hey, how are you guys doing?
We're good, pal. Hey,
best thing I saw was Tom Brady, 44 years old, on an onslaught with no offensive line and the best defensive front, still almost pull it out.
That's true.
With a little help from the Rams, of course. And the worst thing I saw, I remember Todd Bowles, great safety. Imagine what he would say to Richie Pettibone if he went one-on-one with Jerry Rice in that situation, if Pettibone called some type of crazy all-out blitz. I don't know what he's doing. I've seen him do it with he's left Tyreek Hill out before, you know, on these blitz packages, and it was just a terrible call. May not have made a difference in the end, but it sure was a bad call, so that was the worst thing I saw.
I hear it. Thanks for the call, John.
I think Todd Bowles told the cornerback to fall down.
Didn't help.
And that corner fell. The safety wasn't deep enough. I don't think that was the way it was drawn up. You want to know the worst thing I saw this weekend, JP?
What is it? Hang on. Tell me when we return. This is B-Mitch
Finley. Good job. Right there in Chantilly.
Okay.
And as I'm watching the game, I keep seeing her hit her phone. I'm like, what the hell are you doing on that phone? My wife and my daughter are betting. That's the
for
worst
real?
Thing. That's the best thing. That's the worst thing I saw all day.
Like on FanDuel or something? Or whatever? DraftKings, whatever it was?
Betting today. I'm like, wait. When did this start? It's like, what you having? I said, listen.
Monica?
I said, I'm telling you right now.
Monica's downloading apps?
So here go Maya to my dad. Mom, if I put you on right now, you sign up, you get a $50 credit automatically. And I'm like, listen, I'm letting y'all know right now. This is only your damn money that you're betting. You're not betting nothing from this account. This is your money. So I get in the house last night. Oh, man, lost my bet. I said, uh-huh. There you go. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Dude, I'm sitting there. You know, I'm just like, okay, cool. Sitting out with the wife and one of my daughters just chilling. And I thought it was cool until I heard found out they were betting. That's troubling.
That is funny, dude. Like, my wife knows I bet and doesn't care. Like, she's fine. Like, it's fine. But I can't ever. Now, like, we're going to Vegas. She'll play blackjack and some slots or whatever.
I don't mind them playing blackjack. And Monica plays blackjack all the time. We go, but don't sit up here and gamble on something you know nothing about. And that's they sure awesome. Try. And Maya, I'm like, hold on. Where the hell did this come from with you? That she don't want to spend any of her money, but you gambling?
But have they always been into football? Monica, yeah, for sure. But
yes.
Okay.
Yes, but no, sure. So I told her, I said, oh, you tell Sonny call me.
That's funny.
She's like, what you? Because I know her little boyfriend gambles.
Ah.
So, hey, you going to be spending money, homeboy, because I'm going to tell you, ain't no money coming from this way for it.
All right, Sonny, you're on the clock, man.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go to Jay in Centerville. Jay, what was the best? What was the worst?
Hey, fellas, thanks for taking my call, man. I got to say, the best I saw was the Kansas City-Buffalo game. That the whole game was a beast. But the worst thing I saw was Ryan Tannehill's face after the interception. Not the interception. His face looked like, so I told him to make me throw the ball. And he's like, you know, hey, bro, I was so heated with him because I was pulling for Tennessee, you know. But that's what I have to say. That was the worst thing I saw was Ryan Tannehill, how bad he stunk it up.
All right, brother.
Thanks for taking my call, fellas.
Thank you, man. Tannehill was awful.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
You're looking at his face. Not only are you awful, you got an ugly face, but you got a bitter beer face when you do it.
Cody, what was the best? What was the worst for you?
The best thing I saw was a team win a game in the playoffs without scoring an offensive touchdown. How does that happen?
That's because they got another team that puts no emphasis on special teams whatsoever.
Good thing games are played outside in the elements.
Yeah, not inside with the air conditioner on and a sofa with some damn seat cushions and pillows to make it everything so comfortable, Dar.
We got to get Dar to call in, I think. I think we are sleeping a little on some of the non-quarterback performances. I thought Ja'Marr Chase was excellent. I think he was the best player on that field in that kind of ugly game.
Ja'Marr Chase, Tyreek Hill.
Trent Williams.
Kelsey, Trent Williams.
Trent might have been the best player on the field in that game, honestly. That game lacked offense, shall we say.
Yeah.
Aaron Jones had a big game.
Hey, look at Lewis Riddick. I love that. Play better defense. Don't cry about no damn rules. They had 13 seconds on the clock. They went down the field as if it was 7-on-7 with nobody on the field. I agree with that.
Let's go to Nate in Stafford. Nate, what up, man?
Hey, how y'all doing?
Good. How are you, buddy?
I'm doing all right. Look, the best thing I saw this weekend was Jimmy G showing that he should not come here to Washington. We don't need him. If anything, if you're going to keep Jimmy G, you might as well work with Heineke. Last year was pretty much his rookie season. And, you know, we're giving him – I'm not advocating for him, but, you know, I think we take too much out on Heineke when it was pretty much his rookie season. So if you're going to go with Jimmy G, you might as well stay with Heineke and use your first round on a quarterback or a defensive linebacker that's actually going to be better than Davis.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it. Jimmy Garoppolo.
I'll say this, though. I'm sick of hearing about a rookie season. Is your rookie season is the first year you come into the NFL. You can't be around the NFL for 6 years, and then when you start playing, we say it's your rookie season. You gain experience and all while you were there for those 6 years. So it wasn't his rookie season. I agree with you, though, that, you know, Jimmy G hadn't shown much better, but it wasn't his rookie. It wasn't Heineke necessarily rookie season. He played games before. He just hadn't started the whole season. Remember Patrick Mahomes? He played one game his rookie season. So I guess his second year was really his rookie season.
I think I want to – let's have – all right. Got to take a break here. Phone lines remain open. Good. Numb Clown has called in. Always Numb good. Clown. Always good to hear from Numb Clown. A lot of tweets coming in about drafting a guy versus seeing what's available for a veteran. Let's have a real conversation about it, because I do think Washington has an advantage over some of the teams we talk about. Talk about Denver. Talk about Pittsburgh. Those are teams that are going to need quarterbacks. Washington has one advantage over those teams that I'm not sure we've discussed. We'll hit that. We'll talk Jimmy G. We'll talk Ryan Tannehill. Maybe Aaron Rodgers. We'll talk all of it next on The Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.